Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotkin coming at you live from Amma's Kitchen here in Cincinnati, Ohio, a kosher Southern Indian vegetarian restaurant, which I like to frequent. Turns out that after I had my car worked on and it's all ready for the winter, a new windshield wipers, I figured I'd stop off over here and get something to eat. And we'll do a little bit of class from here. This is the book club class time. Today's Monday, December 19 of 22, and we are on the cusp of finishing off this fine little book that we're reading, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah. Remember that we started before Rosh Hashanah. I'm an empty smith. You take it with you. And so we are on our way towards concluding this wonderful book. We're on page 258. We're looking at the sixth verse of Shofros. Let's get right to it. The sixth verse of Shofros is as follows. Tikru b'chodesh shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu. Blow the shofar at the moon's renewal at the time of the at the time appointed for our festive day. Kichok l'Israel hu, because it is a decree for Israel. Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov, a judgment or a judgment day for the God of Jacob. And that is Psalm 81, verses 4 and 5. In the totality in English, blow the shofar at the moon's renewal at the time appointed for our festive day, because it is a decree for Israel, a judgment day for the God of Yaakov. Okay, let's start the chapter. Shimon Mordechai Cohen writes as follows. This verse, which refers directly to Rosh Hashanah, reveals much about the essence of this day and the mitzvah of shofar. Nevertheless, its words require clarification and careful thought. Is Rosh Hashanah a chag, a day of festivity, or a day of mishpat, judgment? Many explanations have been written on this verse. We will present here some of the most relevant. I just want to let you know that my chavrus in the Cincinnati Kol over by Tzvi Richter pointed me to an article by David Beshevkin. I forgot exactly where it was published, maybe Times of Israel, talking about the Masechta of Chagiga, of all things, and the mitzvah of being on the regal, going up to the temple to see and be seen. He quotes a Rosh Hashiva, an Israeli Rosh Hashiva who is confronted by Elal security. And they say to him the usual questions, did you pack your bags? And they say to him, what's the next Jewish holiday? He says, the next Jewish holiday is Pesach. They say, when's the next Chag? He says, the next Chag is Pesach. They said to him, really, what about Hanukkah? Isn't that coming up earlier? He said, any holiday on which you do not offer a Chagiga, a Korban Chagiga, a sacrifice, which is the Chagiga was like a happy add-on kind of a sacrifice in which you would kind of offer it in order to round out the meat availabilities for your friends and family on the holiday. You had to have enough meat, you wanted to feed family and friends. You had a lot of meals to go, so you'd offer up a Korban Chagiga. So says the Rosh Hashiva to the Elal security guards, any holiday on which you do not offer a chagiga is not considered a chag. Well, that answered him or her up, because on Hanukkah, historically, nobody offered up a chagiga offering. There may have been sacrifices offered, but it's not like a Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So it's not a chag. And yet over here we are indeed talking about it as a chag. This might be a question for the Rosh Hashiva. The pasuk says, "Tikru b'chodesh shofar b'kesa liyom chagenu." If in truth it's referring to Rosh Hashanah, well, Rosh Hashanah, no matter how joyous a holiday it is also not Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and we don't offer up a korban chagiga on Rosh Hashanah. So how does Rosh Hashiva understand? You know, how does he say that, you know, if it's not a holiday in which you offer up a chagig, it's not considered a chag. Rosh Hashanah here is being called a chag. So therefore you would think you have to offer up a korban chagig. Yet we know that we don't do that. So what's up? It's a question on the Rosh Hashiva. We continue. Bottom of page 258. It is important to know that our verse is cited by the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah 8 as the source in the Bible, in the Tanakh, for Rosh Hashanah's status as a Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is, however, a unique type of Yom HaDin. In an earthly court, it is not the defendant who decides when it suits him to have his case heard. Top page 259. God's judgment of Israel is different. Klal Yisrael themselves, as represented by the Beis Din, have the authority to decide on the exact timing of Rosh Hashanah. How about that? We get a chance to decide when we're going to be judged. This, too, is hinted in our verse. There's an unmistakable implication here that the judgment itself, exacting though it is needed and even desired by Klal Yisrael. We have, as it were, the power to inform God when the best time is for us to receive the gift of appearing before him to be judged. It's as if we are choosing to subject ourselves to his scrutiny. Let's analyze the meaning of this verse and learn how we can properly approach the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. Blow the shofar at the moon's renewal. Bakese liyom chagenu. At the time appointed for our festive day. The translation of bakese as appointed time, an appointed time, follows Rashi. The Talmud, however, interprets the term bakese to mean covered over, like kisui hadam, covering over blood. Okay? That's a reference to the beginning of a lunar month. Why is it the beginning of a lunar month? Because that's when the moon is hardly visible. The moon is covered over. That's why it's hinted at in the pasuk. Bakesa liyom chaginu, at the covered over time of the day appointed for our festive day, when it is covered over. Again, covered over is a reference to the beginning of a lunar month when the moon is hardly visible. Chazal explained that the Rosh Chodesh in question must be one which coincides with a chag, a holy day. Since no other holy days occur at the beginning of a month, the Talmud infers that Rosh Hashanah must be the chag that our verse speaks of. Again, we have a question on the Rosh Hashiva based upon this. If all this is accurate and true, then how could the Rosh Hashiva say that any day that we don't offer up a korban chagiga is not a chag? Rosh Hashanah is considered a chag, and we do not offer up a korban chagiga. We get it back into the book, page 260. Since the following verse describes this day as one of mishpat, judgment, we learn that the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Rosh Hashanah, ideal and reality. Why is it that the Torah does not clearly state, even once, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? Again, why is it that the Torah itself, that the five books of Moses, does not, that those books do not clearly state, even once, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? As we learn from Chazal, this point is central to the avoda, to the worship, to the service that we do on Rosh Hashanah, and also it's central to the 10 days of tshuva. It is strange that it's not mentioned. Why is Rosh Hashanah not called Yom HaDin? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that had Klal Yisrael been on a sufficiently high spiritual level, it wouldn't have been necessary for the multitudes of Israel to know, even in the oral Torah, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. This information would have been handed down only to the greatest sages of each generation. Hashem wishes to judge us even when we are at our best. Well, let me read that. Hashem wishes to judge us when we are at our best. By giving us the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar on this day, God was clearly signaling that the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is for us to make a renewed acceptance of God as our King. For the earlier generations, this was enough. for the earlier generations, this was enough, and their avoda was indeed, their worship of God was indeed a much greater source of merit than had their joy been tinged with the fear that comes from knowing that one stands in the dock of the heavenly court. However, as time progressed, our sages saw that if people would not be made aware of what is at stake on Rosh Hashanah, they would fail to fulfill their obligation to accept Hashem as king on this holy day. With the result that at the crucial time of judgment, they would be found wanting. So the people eventually had to be informed that Rosh Hashanah is indeed a day of judgment. Because if you don't know that, and all you do is party, nap, hang out with your friends, eat a lot of food, go back to shul, come out and eat, go back to shul, come out and eat, that's all you wind up doing. And you don't realize. And yeah, you hear the shofar. But if you don't realize that today is the Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, you're missing out. And lesser generations would be missing out. And the rabbis felt, we can't let them miss out. That's the whole purpose of the day, is to crown God as king and behave accordingly and live your life accordingly the rest of the year. If they're not going to do that, then what's the point in having a happy day? You're missing out on the major important thing of Rosh Hashanah, which is to know that it's the day of judgment. Let me reread that little paragraph. By giving us the mitzvah of tekiya shofar, by giving us the mitzvah of blowing the shofar on this day of Rosh Hashanah, what do you think God was signaling to us? What was he informing us? That we have to blow the shofar. Well, why do you blow the shofar? Blow a shofar at a coronation. That's exactly what's going on here. By giving us the mitzvah of blowing the shofar on this day, God was clearly informing us that the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is for us to make a renewed acceptance of God as our king. Because the earlier generations, it was okay for them. The early generations, that was sufficient. Their avoda was indeed a much greater source of merit than had their joy been tinged with the fear that comes from knowing that one stands in the dock of the heavenly court. They were so high-level people back in the day that you didn't have to tell them that they're going to be getting judged. They were able to have a good, healthy, happy, successful, godly day of Rosh Hashanah without having to be told that they're going to get judged. Okay? For the early generations, this sufficed. Their avoda, their service of God, was indeed a much greater source of merit than had it been tinged with the fear that comes from knowing that one stands in the dock of the heavenly court. They didn't apparently know that it was the Yom HaDin, and it was fine, because they were living a such a high-level godly life that you would have been hurting them spiritually. You would have been maybe hampering them. You would have been, cramping their style that day if you would have told them, oh, and by the way, you're going to get judged today. They'd say, who needs to know that? I want to just have a good, I'm living today on the highest level possible. You're not adding anything to me by telling me that it's going to be a judgment day. You're only bringing me down. So therefore, it wasn't all that well known back in the day. However, as time progressed, our rabbis saw that if people would not be made aware of what is at stake on Rosh Hashanah, they would fail to fulfill their obligation to accept Hashem as king on this holy day, with the result that at the crucial time of judgment, they would be found wanting. Our rabbis therefore decided to include this previously withheld information in the Mishnayos of Rosh Hashanah. They knew that the knowledge that our fate is decided in Rosh Hashanah would spur us on to fulfill what God expects of us on this all-important day, even if that means that we will not be in a completely joyous state. On the one hand, you have to be happy. On the other hand, we all know, oh boy, I'm getting judged today. So there is a little balance that has to be hit. The main point for us is to be aware that in its essence, Rosh Hashanah is a day of joy, not of fear. We need to wisely utilize the knowledge that Hashem judges us on this day in order to enhance our avoda, in order to enhance our worship of God not to detract from it. Kichok Lisrael Hu, Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, because it is a decree for Israel, a judgment day for the God of Yaakov. Top page 262. Rashi explains that the decree is the mitzvah of sounding the shofar, and that Mishpat means a day of judgment. So he kind of splits up that pasuk. Kichok Lisrael Hu, it is a decree for Israel. Says Rashi, the decree is what? The mitzvah of sounding the shofar. Pasuk continues, Mishpat Elokei Yaakov. What's the Mishpat? Mishpat is it's judgment. Says Rashi, Mishpat does it mean the day of judgment. The whole day is a day of judgment. And that's how Rashi understands that pasuk. Rashi explains that the decree, the chok, is the mitzvah of sounding the shofar. And Mishpat means a day of judgment. The purpose of sounding the shofar on this day is to urge us to do tshuva so that we will be found meritorious in his judgment. How about Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch? The journey of Tishrei, contemplation, then joy. There are several phrases in this verse which would appear to be unnecessary and repetitious. Rav Hirsch in his commentary to Tehillim explains the meaning of every phrase. This verse, explains Rav Hirsch, comes in a chapter of Tehillim which calls on Israel to rise above the weakened state represented by the name Yaakov, to attain once again the joy and spiritual fulfillment depicted by the name Israel. The way this can be achieved is through, says Rabbi Hirsch, through earnest and conscientious loyalty to our duty, as is proclaimed for all time by the sound of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah that precedes the playing of the timbrels and harps on the Feast of Sukkot. Tabba 263. Rabbi Hirsch thus explains that the holy days of Tishrei, which begin with the serious contemplation of Rosh Hashanah and culminate in the overflowing joy of Chag HaSukkos, these holy days of Tishrei guide us to the realization that serving God with joy must be preceded by acceptance of his kingship and a commitment to the fulfillment of his will. According to Rav Hirsch's commentary, our verse is understood as follows. Tiku v'chodesh shofar. Sound the shofar on the day of the new moon. Bakese liyom chaginu. On that day of the new veiled moon that leads up to the day of our feast, which is Sukkot. The fact that the moon is covered in Rosh Hashanah and fully visible on Sukkot is of great significance. Rosh Hashanah is the day of striving upward, of returning to the light. On Rosh Hashanah, we begin the process of tshuva, returning to the light of God, which culminates in the forgiveness and cleansing of Yom Kippur. Even this achievement is not our final goal. Hashem desires that we serve Him gladly, attaining closeness to Him through rejoicing with His Torah. The day when we begin the joyous celebration of Sukkot is when the light of the moon, resembling the great spiritual closeness that we gain in this month, reaches its greatest intensity. Kichok liYisrael hu, for Israel has a statute. The happiness and joy of life in which Israel should rejoice cannot be found through impulsivity. They are primarily dependent on fulfillment of the statute Israel has been given in order to fulfill its divinely ordained mission. Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov, a judgment for the God of Jacob. Top 264. Before God will raise us from our humble status of Yaakov, which is to say, which represents our situation in exile, to the status of Yisrael, after, which is representative of after the redemption. Okay, again, Jacob represents exile. Israel represents Geula, redemption. Before God will raise us from our humble status of Yaakov, our situation in exile, to the status of Israel post-redemption, the God of Yaakov will first sit in judgment to evaluate our fulfillment of his law. Tisfarno, confidence in Hashem's justice brings Israel joy. According to the explanations quoted so far, the fact that God judges us on Rosh Hashanah does not itself cause us to be joyous on this day. It's a reason to be introspective and to use the day for tshuva and renewal. The Sforno, however, understands that Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Chagenu, our festive day, because of the judgment itself. Footnote, Sforno understands Bakesa to mean on the day of judgment, similar to the word Kisei, throne, which refers to God sitting in judgment. This is also mentioned by Malbim and Rav Hirsch, this commentary, this understanding of the Sforno. And Bakesa means Bakisei, on the throne. So, according to the Sforno, Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Chagenu, our festive day, because of the judgment that's involved in it. Now, how can the knowledge that we are being judged bring us joy? The Sforno explains, the fact that Hashem judges us on this holy day fills us with confidence that he will ultimately judge Israel favorably, saving us from oppression and righting the great wrongs that have been done to us. The shofar calls all Klal Yisrael to gather and accept God as our King, renewing our trust in his promises and our joy in his service. Preparing for Rosh Hashanah with trust in God. The explanation of Sforno to our verse is reflected by an aspect of the halachas of how one should prepare for Rosh Hashanah. Tab 265. The Torah writes that despite Israel's full awareness of the gravity of the din, the gravity of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, there's an element of confidence to our preparations for this day and our conduct during it. Quoting our sages, the Torah writes that whereas a person who is facing a serious court case would be likely to be in an anxious and depressed state, neglecting his appearance and clothing, he might do that, but Israel, they don't behave in this way in the approach to Rosh Hashanah. Instead, we bathe, we take haircuts, and just in fine white clothes on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we rejoice at the Yom Tov meals, attesting that we know that Hashem will judge Israel favorably, miraculously redeeming us from harmful decrees that we may have deserved. Many sources discuss this statement of our sages and how it can be that on one hand, we're being judged by God as to who will live and who will die, and on the other hand, we're certain that Hashem will miraculously save us from all harmful decrees. The altar of Kelm, Hashem guarantees Klal Yisrael's survival. The altar of Kelm explained that, as individuals, we are certainly judged and scrutinized, and we have no assurance as to what the outcome of our din will be. Yisrael as a unit, however, Klal Yisrael as a group, has an assurance that God will find us worthy of survival as a nation. Top page 266. Let's think about what the altar of Kelm said. So beloved is Klal Yisrael to Hashem that God guaranteed in the Torah that all Klal Yisrael would never cease to exist. The greater one's knowledge of our turbulent history, the more one can appreciate the significance of this promise and the miracle of its fulfillment. The reason why God made this promise is because of the devotion shown to God by the Avos, by the forefathers, and by Klal Yisrael at the time of the leaving of Egypt. The greatness of Klal Yisrael is that God focuses his hashgacha, his involvement with the world on us. Through Israel, his kingship is and will be revealed to the rest of the world. This knowledge gives us great cause for joy on Rosh Hashanah, this most serious and awesome of days. Gathering together to hear the call of the shofar, crowning Hashem as our king, accepting his will and his judgment, is our greatest merit and our finest moment. It is at this moment that we, as Klal Yisrael, are inscribed for guaranteed continuity and eternal success in our mission as a nation of God. Due to the greatness of this moment, Rosh Hashanah is truly Yom Chageinu, the day of our rejoicing. Quick little footnote. The Yalkut Eliezer, that's Rabbi Zusman Eliezer Sofer, he goes further in explaining the joy of Rosh Hashanah. Although we tremble before God's scrutiny and judgment, we know with certainty that no matter what is decreed, it's only for the good. It will ultimately achieve what we all hope and yearn for, which is the revelation of Kvod Shamayim, the revelation of the honor of heaven. In subjecting ourselves to God's judgment, we're also recognizing God's goodness and wisdom. Since Klal Yisrael knows that the result of his judgment will be Kvod Shamayim, the honor of heaven, as God's loyal and devoted servants, we rejoice on his day of judgment. Top page 267. The great nation close to Hashem. Rosh Hashanah, the day of God's awesome judgment, is when Israel becomes closer to him. This is reflected in the fact that the Beis Din of Israel determines the date when this judgment takes place, as our verse teaches. Our sages teach that both the joy we feel in Rosh Hashanah and our right to decide the date of this judgment show that we are Goy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim Kruvim Elav, the great nation that has Hashem close to it. Let's realize on this day that we are the great nation that has God close to it. When we properly utilize this closeness, Hashem will show that he is truly close to us. He will accept our prayers, as the same verse tells us, Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Koreinu Elav, that he is Hashem our God, who is close to us whenever we call him. Our sustenance is decided by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud teaches us an additional meaning of the word chok in our verse, citing an instance where this word means fixed. Citing an instance where this word means fixed ration portion of food, our sages say that here too, our verse tells us that in Rosh Hashanah, every one of us is allotted a precise portion for his family's sustenance for the year, to the next Rosh Hashanah. Thus, the translation is as follows: Ki chok li'Yisrael hu, for it is the time of allocating sustenance for Israel. Top page 268. What is the connection between shofar and sustenance? Although the importance of meriting a year of good parnasa cannot be underestimated, the way this aspect of the Yom HaDin, of the Day of Judgment, appears in our verse requires explanation. Let me read that again. Although the importance of meriting a year of good livelihood can't be underestimated, the way this aspect of the Day of Judgment appears in our verse requires explanation. The word ki, because, or for, implies that this is the reason for the mitzvah of shofar. Why is the judgment on the area of sustenance the reason for shofar? Middle page 268. Rav Tzadok says, three aspects of life are decided on Rosh Hashanah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen gives a deep insight into this matter, for which we will need to summarize his incisive comments on the avoda of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Tzadok, is the day when Hashem allocates chayim, life, This includes three main areas. One, B'nai, which children will be born into this world. Chaye, continued life for those who are already living. And Mizone, the provision of sustenance for life, food. And Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Tzedek, is the day when Hashem allocates Chaim. Three sources of merit, Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. To merit these three aspects of life, children, continued life, and the provision of sustenance for life, we need three sources of merit, Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. Top page 269. Through Malchios, through those psukim that talk about God's kingdom and kingship, we merit B'nai, to bring children into the world. Avram was the first to proclaim God as king. He begged God for children who would be Hashem's loyal and devoted servants. In his merit, we too are privileged to accept God as king over ourselves and our descendants. By doing so, we merit children and descendants who will be loyal and devoted servants of God. Through Zechronos, we merit Chaye, life itself. Yitzchak Avinu was prepared to give up his life for God when he allowed himself to be bound on the altar of the Akedah. In this way, he elevated and sanctified his life. In his merit, we too have the privilege of our remembrance ascending before Hashem, the source of life. Zikaron implies connection. Connection, connecting the source of life, brings us true, elevated life. And finally, through Shofros, we merit Mizone, sustenance. Yaakov prayed to God for the maintenance of physical and spiritual life for himself and for his children. Just as sustenance is vital for life, ongoing awareness and inspiration are vital for spiritual continuity. Shofar inspires us to spiritual awareness. It calls us to awaken and remain awake. Through the inspiration of Shofar, Hashem grants us sustenance in the merit of Jacob, who prayed for the future sustenance and spiritual purity of Klal Yisrael, his descendants. Top page 270. Jewish spiritual and physical continuity, the connection. Thus, Rav Tzedek explains, the wording of our verse could not be more precise. The reason for sounding the shofar is Ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat lo he Yaakov. For it is the time of allocating sustenance for Israel, a judgment day for the God of Jacob. As well as judging us regarding life itself, God judges us regarding the sustenance which is necessary for life. Therefore, Hashem, God of Yaakov, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov, a judgment day for the God of Yaakov. Therefore, Hashem, who is the God of Jacob, the God of Yaakov, who is so concerned for the physical and spiritual future of his descendants, that very God of ours, God Almighty, guides us as to how to merit sustenance. God tells us that the key is listening to the shofar and then creating our own internal shofar. This means to create systems to ensure that we will continue the inspiration of the shofar. The shofar represents the voice of Yaakov, the voice of Torah and prayer, which is Yaakov's only guarantee of continuity. When we ensure that we have an internal shofar for spiritual continuity, Hashem will grant us the sustenance necessary for physical continuity. As we explained in the introduction to shofars, shofar represents the ongoing efforts that we must make to ensure that good triumphs over evil in our own lives and in the world as a whole. When we make this ongoing effort, God reciprocates by granting us parnasa on an ongoing basis, giving us the means to sustain the spiritually healthy lives that we intend to lead. Top page 271, a summary. Third verse from Ksuvim. Tikru b'chodesh shofar, b'kesel yom chagenu. Blow the shofar at the moon's festival, the at the time appointed for our festive day. Because it is a decree for Israel, a judgment day for the God of Jacob. This verse is the scriptural source that Rosh Hashanah is actually the day of judgment. A little review here. On Rosh Hashanah, we begin to return to Hashem. On Yom Kippur, we are cleansed. Only on Sukkot, the Yom Chagenu, do we reach the final goal, the joyous service of God. Even Rosh Hashanah itself is a day of rejoicing. We are confident that God will judge us favorably as a nation. The shofar is an ongoing reminder to sustain and maintain our spiritual level all year round. Through it, we can merit our physical sustenance, parnasa, for the year. And here's a little note regarding the recital of Tehillim, chapter 150 at this point. At this point in shofar, the Mizmor, Halleluka, Halleluka, Kel Bekutcho, praise God, and His Holiness. At this point, this Mizmor is recited. According to Avadram and other authorities, it is not one of the 10 verses of Shofros, as 3 verses from Ksuvim have already been recited. Rather, this Mizmor, this Kapitel of Tehillim, is recited because it contains 10 Hilulim, 10 expressions of praise to Hashem, which correspond to the 10 verses of Malchios, of Zichronos, and of Shofros. Indeed, the Talmud cites the 10 Hilulim of this last chapter of Tehillim as one of the sources for the recital of 10 verses. Rabbeinu Chananel, in his commentary to the Talmud, cites the Yerushalmi, according to which the 10 Hilulim are the source for the 10 Malchios specifically. Okay, people, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to let it be there at page 272, and we're almost done with this book. Very exciting. We're getting close. Slowly, slowly, we're getting there. Only another 30, 40 pages to go. So let's not rush it. Let's not, daven it up. Take it slowly. We're not in any rush. Next book's going to be a great book, too. But let's just enjoy this page by page, chapter by chapter. Shwaplaska signing off from our weekly book club class here in beautiful Amma's Kitchen in Cincinnati, Ohio. When you're in Cincinnati, come on down for a kosher, strictly kosher meal. During the week, it's dairy. On Wednesday, it's vegan. So if you're into Chol Yisrael, vegan Wednesday is your day. Come on down to Amma's Kitchen in Roselawn, a suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio. Everybody have a great day, a great week, a great Hanukkah. Enjoy the beautiful holiday of Hanukkah. Light it up tonight. We light 2 candles tonight. So enjoy. Everybody have a great one. Enjoy the holiday. Take care. Be well. Bye for now.